Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right, let's get to the magic hat. It's the magic hat.
Yeah, baby. That's what I've been waiting for.
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics.
Yeah.
And we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his magic hat.
Hocus pocus. Where are you?
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Hey, happy final hour. Happy 4th of July. Nearly everybody. You know what we did in the last hour? Just a little bit over, but that's all right. It's also led to, I was talking to Harris in the commercial break, somebody asking, is it a Freaky Friday? It is not, but it's fun. He wanted to come in and talk, he wanted to come talk footy with me, man. I don't know what the hell I'm doing talking footy, but I'm riding the wave like everybody else. So he was very helpful in that regard. I also did not and totally forgot to cut out my magic hat topics and put them in the hat. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to change it up. We're going to do a modified magic hat today. How about that? Happy final hour, everybody. Happy Thursday. Hopefully you got your 4th of July plans all ready to go. You got your pork butts ready. You got your ribs ready to throw in the smoker. You got your beers picked up. It's going to be a fun weekend, fun 4th of July weekend. We'll talk a little bit more World Cup coming up to end the show tonight, or today, getting you ready for tonight, and then also some of the more interesting games going on over the weekend. But Magic Hat time, I think we just kind of go, I pick one, you pick one in terms of our topics, and then we roll from there. How's that sound? You like
we'll
that?
We'll start that we'll way, evolve yeah.
Would you like me to go first?
Go for it.
Okay. Number one in my Magic Hat is going to be, do we like this? And the this that I'm talking about, I want to make sure I get the gal's name right. Give me a second. It's ABC7 in, yeah, okay, Abigail Velez, I think is how you say her name. Abigail Velez. She works for ABC, local ABC7 in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And she was doing a World Cup hit leading into, I believe, their game against Turkey. I think that was the game.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And she goes on the news. She's kind of a young-looking reporter. And this caused controversy because of the way the whole thing kind of unfolded. And do we want this in our local sports broadcasters?
Okay, and the big question tonight is whether team captain Christian Pulisic is going to start this match after being out in the last one due to a calf injury. Okay, don't shoot the messenger. Okay, hot take. No Pulisic, no problem. That's because whatever happens at tonight's match, Team USA is going to advance. That's because they had huge wins over Australia and Paraguay. So tonight is really about hanging out, having a good time, and enjoying the company. And while I'm at it, the only turkey that I'm concerned about is at Thanksgiving, honey. Team USA all the way. Come on, Team USA. Let's go. David, Giovanna, back to you.
All right, you've done some TV stuff over the years. How do we like the cheesy fandom sports reporter Abigail Velez down at LA7?
I've never been a TV news guy. That's never been part of my schedule or part of my day to stop, sit down, and watch the news. I think it's fun. I think it
you
changes
find it,
it
fun?
Up.
You think
I
it's
think
entertaining?
It's not boring. I think it's entertaining. I don't know if she had a drink before that live hit. she might need to transition to radio. That sounded more like a radio hit than a TV one. But this sounds like she's having a good old time before the game. And she's
having
talking about having a good old time. I'm like, yeah, you look like you've already
you
started.
You look like you're having a ball down here in Los Angeles.
I love the professionalism
game.
After she did that. She's like, oh, wait, let me do my clothes real quick.
Back to the studio. Right. Yeah. She's got it. So if you haven't seen the video, she's got a big giant American flag draped over her back. And she look, it's definitely fun. I will say, now, Nick Krupke's our guy. We love Nick Krupke over at Fox. He's killing it, doing a lot of stuff with the fire. Like, his business is booming for Nick Krupke right now. I will say, though, my all-time favorite, and I hope this is a name that some people will remember, my all-time favorite local sports guy, bar none. It's not even debatable, and I don't know if the clips or the video still exists that you can go find. Charlie Minn, if you don't remember Charlie Minn back in the day, he was the local guy on Fox. I think Fox 12 is where he worked. And this, I was probably, I can't remember if I was elementary school or middle school or when his run would have ended. I think he became a filmmaker. I don't know exactly what he's doing, but his sports hits used to be legitimately like screaming about players making mistakes, like making fun of Matt Hasselbeck for throwing a pick. That's just a name I remember from him talking about. He would do hockey highlights, and all he would show was the fights. He would just like, here's two guys duking it out center ice. And I'll never forget one of the anchors after him show, like, look at that, look at him get on. He's like yelling as these two guys are fighting, and it's in his highlight package. And then he's the anchor turns to him and says, you know, some people don't find fighting funny, and he had some great, you know, response back. I hope there's people out there that remember Charlie Minn. So to your point, maybe this is, people just wanted to live it up a little bit. It's different, too, I think, when you get the nationality angle behind it. Like, if you're doing that on the local news and it's for a, you know, a USC football game, it's like, oh, come on. First off, half the people, not half, but some in the city don't even root for him because they're UCLA people are rooting for somebody else. So that can get a little tricky, but for USA, I will allow it. I do like when sports reporters give me something unique. Give me something new. And Charlie Minn certainly did that back in the day. So I'm with you. I'll allow it. But there was audio bit number one. Abigail, what was her last name? Velez. She's down in L.A. And that caused a bit of controversy last week.
I like it. I like it. All right. My first Magic hat, and I
look at you officially putting your look at you.
Actually show the hat, though. We actually have the hat. Love story.
Okay. What do we got?
So we alluded to it earlier, because you kept guessing all my Magic Hat topics today.
I did.
The Taylor Swift-Travis Kelce wedding is allegedly, I don't think it's been officially announced or out there of what the day is, but according to a police officer or law official in New York City yesterday.
Sources. We got sources.
The wedding will be tomorrow in Madison Square Garden. And I applaud the move. I think it's a genius move. I don't know if how
to get married in MSG.
Yes. I don't know what the turnout is supposed to be. If this is a, are they selling tickets for this? Are they having fans outside the arena and picking the first 1,000 fans or whatever to come in and watch the wedding? But I think it's a baller move from someone that basically runs the music industry these days.
Have you seen that happen? I've been like, these things keep popping up. You can't avoid it right now. Like, she's such a big deal that it's in every, you know, news channel or Twitter headline. Like, every time you scroll, you're going to find something.
Right.
Some of the details. So there was a picture of, or a video from Variety of a grand piano getting wheeled into MST. There's videos of all these, like, drapes and different things that they need to put up just to keep people from being able to see into, like, the loading dock of MSG. Like, that's a very populated area. You're not, like, out in the middle of nowhere. Do this at the Moda Center. It's a little bit more simple to go down, you know, load stuff into the back of the Moda Center. It's a little simpler. One of the other things, then this was on, where did I see this? TMZ had this a couple days ago. They are, this is exclusive, TMZ report, exclusive. Building a huge, giant castle inside MSG for the wedding ceremony. Now, baller move to be able to do it. I will agree with you there. There's also an aspect of, now, I don't know, are they going to film this thing? Like, is this going to be like an Amazon special documentary?
I feel like it's going to be on Disney Plus in 3 months.
It feels like it's just becoming a Taylor Swift concert. Like, is she going to perform at her own wedding? Is that what we're going to get?
Yes.
And look, to each their own, love is love, I guess. If I'm one of these famous people getting married, I would want a wedding that is so out of sight, out of mind, like off of the grid, out in the middle of nowhere. Paparazzi can't be there. Trying to get in and out of MSG before and after a wedding, like you're in the most populated city. Like, it just, this is not certainly the way that I would go about doing it. Building a castle inside of MSG for your wedding gives me some weird vibes, dude. Yeah. I had a cousin who got married a long time ago. And unfortunately for her, the marriage didn't last very long. And it was one of those at the wedding, everybody kind of knew, like, this is not going to. But you're there, you love your family. And so, you know, we were there to support. And she had like a princess theme to her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that just felt kind of weird. I don't know why, but I just was a little uncomfortable by that. And that's the vibe I'm getting here of, like, if you're building a castle inside Madison Square Garden for a wedding,
yeah,
you're taking this a little too seriously. let's just go get hitched and move on here. I know they're not going to do that, but would you go if you were invited? If you were on the guest list, would you want to be at MSG tomorrow?
Sure, why not? I mean,
go see history?
It's almost like game four of the finals all over again in that area. Like,
what would be a more expensive ticket if they could sell? Would it be Taylor Swift or New York Knicks game four of the NBA finals?
I mean, they're already setting up fences around MSG just like they did for those finals games. Jalen Brunson and the Knicks starting lineup are reportedly invited to the wedding. Like, this is going
to
be
they invited all the Knicks to the wedding?
The Knicks starting lineup and
Jalen
Brunson.
Why are the Knicks starting? Are they close? What is the reasoning for that? Just because it's at MSG?
Maybe it was a thank you for having her in the front row for game four. I don't know, but it is something. They got like trucks, like Krispy Kreme trucks rolling around the stadium. Like, it's gonna be an event. So yes, I would love to see what this castle inside the stadium looks like.
You want
to
see if she's gonna be like Rapunzel putting her hair down, like climbing down? Like Kelsey got to climb up with the hair? Like, what are we doing here, man? Is it a fairy tale? It is tomorrow. That's a big deal. It's a big deal, and I'm with you. That thing will be on ESPN Plus in like 5 weeks. They're gonna charge you $5.99 to watch, and they're gonna make $1 billion out of it. Number two up for me is the Derby, and the Derby being. I don't know if you were aware, the Home Run Derby's right around the corner. Are you a big Home Run Derby guy? Do you look forward to it every year, or just kind of, if it's on, it's on?
It's on, it's on.
Yeah, one of those.
Yep.
Well, we've talked a lot about it in years past because they have changed the format, and one of the complaints that I've had is that in the format, you don't really get to like, what we used to love about the Home Run Derby, I thought growing up, was like seeing how far the balls would go of like, damn, he hit that one out of the stadium. Holy. And now you get there's only like a 3-minute clock, and so you just got to keep swinging and swinging and swinging. And so like a ball will be leaving the park, and then the next pitch will already be being hit. And you're like, I can't, there's just too much going on. I'm too old. I can't follow this stuff at the same time. They're changing it back. They're going to a new format this year. I also forgot it's on Netflix. So I don't know if that improves or hurts ratings. I'm not sure. 8 participants, top 4 obviously go to round 2, then so on and so forth. It is going to be 20 swings in round 1. 15 swings in the final 2 rounds, and a player who hits a home run on the last swing of any round continues until he doesn't hit a home run.
Ooh.
So your 20th swing, if you hit it out of the ballpark, you get another one. Hit that one out, you get another one.
Extra life.
And it's not pitches, it's swings. And so you want to take a couple, you can take a couple. Look, Rob Manfred, we jokingly call him the Michael Scott of sports. Like, he's not, doesn't seem to be smart, but somehow keeps getting things right. I think this is a brilliant move. I don't know if it impacts ratings at all, but as somebody who does look forward to the Home Run Derby, it's like, hey, it's the middle of July, nothing's going on. This year is slightly different with the World Cup, but in normal years, you're in the middle of July, and you're like, all right, free agency's done, draft's over, Blazers roster's set, college football's still a month and a half away. Fill my hole, Home Run Derby. I think it's a great call, and I think people will love it. And so they're coming up with a new format. Do we like the swings per round over the time per round of the Home Run Derby?
Yeah, I think I like that more.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with time, there can be so many factors that affect how many swings you get in a certain amount of time. So
yeah.
I think I like swings more. It kind of puts the pressure on, kind of almost like a in-game scenario where you only get one swing one good swing to put it into the fences. I don't think it can hurt ratings. I feel like the only watchable thing during All-Star Weekend is the All-Star Game. So if you can get more eyeballs and change up the format like this, I think it's a good idea. I'll definitely take a look at it for sure.
Yeah, Netflix would be interesting too. Like, I know they got kind of killed. They did the opening night game, Yankees and Giants, which in hindsight, why the hell did you put my team on opening night?
They didn't know yet.
That was a mistake. And they got kind of – Home Run Derby is obviously different. It's more fun. So I'll be curious, like, who's all involved in it and who's on the broadcast and stuff. But I think it's a great idea. Somebody said they should have a metal bat round for the Derby. That's a brilliant idea.
I kind of like that one, too.
It's a warm-up metal bat round.
it's like a Super Smash Bros. Thing where you get a power-up with the metal bat for one swing.
Would be a lot of fun to see that. I'm all in. That's a brilliant idea. That's the next step. That's how we take it to the next step. A little bit more Magic Hat next, 105.1 FM.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the fam. A little more Magic Hat for you on a Thursday. I'm an idiot and I forgot to write my things down and put them in the hat. Also, I got distracted, so it's not all my fault. Let's blame other people for our problems. I'm going to throw a late submission in here because I just saw this come across the wire. Do we like this? How about that? That's what the phrasing will be. The NBA, so the summer league's right around the corner. Starts what? Sometime in July. I think the Blazers released their schedule.
Yep.
We get Young Hanson in summer league again.
It's probably the only time he'll actually play.
Will we overreact to Young Hanson's summer league highlights?
I hope not.
I know us. I know we will.
Probably will.
I know we will. That first time he has a nice dime or a hits a three.
Exactly. Oh,
here we go.
Oh, he's going to be great.
At summer league, they are testing a one free throw rule.
One counting for two.
So the gist of this is, with this rule, any foul that would typically result in one, two, or three free throws will instead just result in one free throw attempt. That attempt will be worth the same total number of points as the free throws it replaces.
Didn't they used to do that?
Did they? Is that the thing that happened back in the day?
I feel like what I've heard from people that are older than me.
Yeah, the old heads
once
will
upon
say,
a time, that was a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
So one free throw would equal
one free
two?
Throw counts however many points you were going to have with that foul.
So according to this, the G League, I mean, I don't watch any G League basketball. They have been using this since 2019 to improve the flow of the game. So
yeah,
they've tested it at that level. We've seen Major League Baseball do this, like the pitch clock stuff. You test it in the minors, see how it works, throw it into a spring training, does it work? And now you implement it in a game. I don't know how I feel about this. I just that seems like, yeah, to have one free throw count for the entire thing. So if you get a good free throw shooter, you know, you could have a good free throw shooter be 85%, 80-something percent, and you foul them shooting a three and they miss the first free throw,
right?
They're almost guaranteed automatically to make the next two. And you're just taking points
away
off the board.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a head-scratcher one for me. The problem, in my opinion, with the NBA flow is not necessarily the time that free throws take. The biggest problem the NBA faces is too aggressive of a whistle, so there's too many stoppages.
Yep.
And then letting teams hold on like life support to timeouts towards the end of the game.
Yep.
And when you get into that last 2 minutes and it's a one or two possession game, I mean, all right, here we go. Free throw, timeout. Okay, go back to the other end. All right, now they're going to foul. Free throw, okay, timeout. Okay, back to the It feels like sometimes the last 90 seconds of a basketball game can take 25 minutes, and that's frustrating. To me, it's honestly, now, last night, not a great example to use, because they put 10 minutes of stoppage time in for the USA game.
Yeah.
That is one of the biggest selling points for me of somebody who doesn't watch a lot of soccer, whenever I watch soccer, of like, here's the game, and yeah, there's going to be guys that lay down a little bit too long and try and milk the clock, and you're going to get your stoppage time at the end of it, so it's not directly 90 minutes every time. But I have a general idea of here's when it starts, here's when it ends. In the NBA, man, you could be watching a game and there's 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're like, all right, this thing should be wrapped up in like 10 minutes or so. And no. That's not happening. That thing's going to drag on like hell. And so that if your fear is essentially flow of the game and ending games in a more timely manner, to me, that's a bigger deal. Allowing so many lengthy timeouts. Why do we need a media break every time we get a late timeout?
Mm-hmm.
I felt this way in the NBA Finals, dude. I think it's egregious, and I get that money's the end-all be-all for these networks. But I remember as the Knicks are like closing out their finals, and this is this historic moment. We're getting these final, you know, 30 seconds of the game to unfold. And every time they took a commercial, it was like a full TV timeout.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, here, oh, somebody, Brunson hits a big shot, and timeout. Let's go wait for 2 minutes. And then the second you get back, inbound the ball. And it's just like, can we let the moment breathe? Can we just have a minute here to enjoy what's going on? So that, to me, is a bigger deal. Will they implement this in an actual regular season game? I don't know. But this will be interesting in summer league, man. So one free throw will count for two or three, depending on how many attempts you would have gotten. And if you make the first free throw, you get all of the points involved.
Yeah. I think it makes sense for summer league because you're not really
there for them
to see them shoot free throws. You're there to see them actually play.
Totally agree.
The actual flow of the game. I mean, if they really wanted to implement it, I can see this just being a happens up to like 2 minutes left in each quarter or two minutes left at the end of each half.
There's a bit of like a hacking rule that goes along with that, isn't there? Where it's like you can, if you foul intentionally in
Mitchell
certain
Robinson
spots, like it's okay, but in the last 2 minutes you can't do it.
Yeah, interesting. I like it for summer league because it's kind of meaningless basketball. You're just there to watch your prospects play.
That is a fair point.
I don't see this getting implemented in the NBA, no matter how successful
wild,
they think it is. Because it's not like there's not a speed problem as far as the entirety of the game. It's just those crunch time final 5 minutes that the timeouts pile up. So
cool
idea.
Yeah.
Don't think it'll stick.
G League, I'm with, or G League and Summer League, I'm with you. Like, if I'm there, I'm just, how can our young guy look competent on a floor? That's all I care about. I don't need to see him shoot three free throws.
See him shoot free throws.
That's totally valid.
Save that for practice.
What else you got in the Magic hat?
All right. Discs be damned.
Discs be damned.
Yes. So, again, happy College Football 27 to all who celebrate.
Did you do it?
Not yet.
Okay.
Should be over this holiday weekend, maybe a little into next week.
Was it a hard convincing? Was it a sell job? Is there like a trade-off? You got to do something in order to get this payoff? What's the negotiation been like?
I have not notified the wife.
Smart move.
It's just been a personal plan, and then I will maybe bring it to the table once the payment is about to be made.
Okay, so you're going to tell her before you buy it or after you buy it?
I want to be good and tell her before.
Yeah.
But... I'm not totally set on
that. Hey, this is how I book tee times. I book tee times, and I'm hey, by the way, can I play on that?
Yeah.
Like, these things are scarce out here, man. If you get a good time, you got
to
grab them, and then,
you
grab it. Hey, babe, by the way, Friday at noon. Does that work? Yeah, sure. Okay, sounds good.
So PlayStation came out with news yesterday that they are no longer going to sell physical discs for video games. Starting in January of 2028. So the disc era of video games is going to be over, at least for PlayStation, but I can see this trending with Xbox and the other
RIP
consoles.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sad. I mean, I guess to be fair, like, digital's kind of becoming the new wave of video games. You just buy them online, but almost 90% of game sales are already digital.
Yes.
But it's a nostalgia thing for me, probably for you, for, you know, people that grew up transitioning from, you know, the docks to the discs.
Yes.
That's kind of a big deal. And it also takes out the whole secondhand ownership type of deal where you can just
resell your games.
Especially for sports games.
Yes.
When you're buying every year of NBA of 2K or every year of Madden.
Right.
Usually you would go trade that in to put some money in towards the new one.
Right.
And now you can't do that anymore. So I think maybe this generation has already accepted that. But for me, that was kind of part of my dealings with games, especially sports games.
It's
a bit sad.
Yeah.
And I always will remember discs as blowing on them and throwing them into the drive and pray that it'll
pray
start
that it
spinning
didn't get
and
scratched,
working.
There's not something on the backside of it.
So it's just good times. It's hard to see that transition happen. But it's just, again, kind of like what you said earlier, you know, money kind of runs this world at some point. And I think they just feel like, well, we're just going to take away the ownership. We're just going to control what we can control with video games. So that's hard.
I'm with you 100%. I don't play a ton of video games or like buy a lot of games. Sports mainly, and college football coming back was the driving force for me getting a new console.
Because
I grew up playing that game and I loved it and I played it religiously and I'm like, I got to dip my toes back in this.
Right.
And it's been a weird adjustment being, you know, out of the video game biz and then getting back into it with a PS5 of like all of it is digital. Like every game that you buy is just, and then it's just on your
console.
And so there's a benefit in that regard of like, I was always the lazy ass who would put the game in the wrong cover because you take one game out and you put it in the act cover and then you're like, where the hell am I? And then you're like opening up. So that was a bit of a pain in the butt. But to your point, and I feel this way now, more aggressively in this topic, but this is the way I feel about sports tickets. I hate that we've lost the physical ticket.
Yeah.
Because it was something that, and I still have a ton of them from my life, of a Blazer game that I remember going to with my dad, or a, you know, like there's little moments in games you go to and you have that physical ticket, you hold on to it. I have it for comedy shows. I have it for movies, like things that you remember doing. And it's like a commemorative thing that you can hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thought that I had, honestly, because one of the things that got, I wasn't sure if I was going to buy this year's game with a kid on the way in October. And I'm like, I know come October, I ain't, you know, that ain't happening. And I'm like, well, you know, we've got a few months till October comes around, so maybe we'll capitalize. But the other part of it that made me want to do it was that Dante Moore's on the cover. And that's like when Joey was on the cover, it was a big deal when I was a kid of like an Oregon Duck is on the cover of NCAA football. It was really cool. And so I had that thought of, now I bought the game digitally, so I'm not even taking advantage of it. But if I wanted to buy the physical cover to have that as a keepsake, if they go away, it just sucks to not have that possibility.
Yeah.
So I'm with you there. Like having the things you commemoratively have. But I get it from a business standpoint. If so many people buy the digital copy of it,
right,
what's the cost benefit of actually making the game? It just... sometimes when everything's digital, you do get a little fuddy-duddy of like, can we just... Can we turn the clock back just a little bit to not have everything be this way? So I'm with you there. I did see that. Couple more quick ones for me. Let's start with the audio bit on this one.
Yep.
How uncomfortable does this make us feel? So did you listen to this when you pulled it, by the way?
I did.
Okay, yep. So I wanted to make sure the whole thing was this, because it was a New York Post, like, aggregate. There's a 7-minute video of this if you want to go listen to the entire thing. It goes on for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yes, this is only a one, but I'm like, we're not going to play the whole thing. Not going to happen. So this is a minute of it. How uncomfortable does this make you feel?
So you're not going to care. I'm an NFL reporter. Mm-hmm. I just wrote that Sean McDermott got fired from the Bills, and that is what I was just sending to send a tweet, and I was going to pull over because I have to make calls.
Okay.
I know you don't care, but I'm just letting you know my reason why.
Okay.
It was a work thing, and it was an emergency for what I did. Like, I'm shocked that they fired me. I cannot believe it. You know who was on the phone?
Who?
Brian Gable. He's
the
boss of the job.
Oh, okay.
Are you a fan of Giants or
Jets? I'm not a fan of either, so.
What is your team?
I'm a Vikings fan, unfortunately. Let's see it.
Can you see the name?
Oh my God. KOC?
See what I said? Look what I said to him, though, just now. Go to the bottom.
Oh my God. Wow. Pretty cool.
I love the Vikings. Chaos was awesome.
Yeah. He seems like a
Your
dude.
Your quarterback sucks, though.
Yeah. So he's got to get it. He's got to fix it.
So if you don't understand what that was, hopefully the audio comes through because it's a body cam footage from a cop. That is Diana Rossini getting pulled over by a police officer. And he walks up. There's a 7-minute video. You can go watch the whole thing if you want to. It's out there. Shout out to the reporter who dug this thing up. He walks up to the window, and she immediately launches into name drop. Because he's like, I've been following you for, I can't remember how long he said, but like for like a couple of miles. You've been on your phone the entire time. Like, I saw you at a red light. You're on your phone. I got behind you. You drove off, still on your phone. I followed you here to here to here, still on your phone. Here. And so she immediately pivots into, well, do you know who I was on the phone with?
Yeah.
Sean McDermott got fired. I just got the news. I was talking to Brian Daboll. And then she launches into trying to figure out who the cop's football team is so she can say something to impress him. He tells her he's a Vikings fan, and then immediately pulls up and texts Kevin O'Connell. I think in that text she said something about, like, there's a cop that's a Vikings fan that just pulled me over. And he eventually lets her get out of the ticket, and she took a shot at J.J. McCarthy along the way. And I get that there's, you know, the idea of wanting to get out of something when you've broken the law is probably a desirable thing. This is not to the equivalent of handing a trading card to a cop when you get pulled over. But, dude, like, having this stuff come out after everything she's been through, the cringy behavior to immediately go to that card after getting pulled over, it made my skin crawl. You could just tell how desperate she was to try and impress him with the number of contacts and names that she has. And, man, Diana Rossini and what her future is going to look like is certainly an interesting conversation, because she'll make a comeback at some point, but I don't know about that one. That one was pretty ugly and pretty awkward. So Diana Rossini got out of a ticket, and the cop was a Vikings fan. What happened to the cop, by the way? Did anything happen there?
I'm not sure.
With the body camera footage revealed, like, she was clearly breaking the law.
Yeah.
She clearly, it wasn't a bribe, but it was like a cool name drop to get out of the ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, you texted Kevin O'Connor. All right, fine. All right, yeah, be safe. You'll put your phone down.
Put the phone away.
You'll be safe, okay? Yeah. You'll be safe. If you pull me over and you listen to the show, please do this to me. That would be great. If you pull me over for any reason. You know who I am? Morning Show, 105.1 The Fan. You want me to text Jason Swigart? I got his number right here. I could do it anytime you want. We'll wrap it up. Send you off into your weekend. There's the Magic Hat every single Thursday, but it is a Thursday Friday because it's the last show for us for the week. Tomorrow, the holiday. Last one for us next on The Fan.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, last one for us. Happy Thursday, everybody. You know what today's show's been? It's been
fantastic.
Just flew on by. Flew on by, man.
Hey-ya! Hey-ya!
Yes, I did see the apology on Twitter. For those asking, people have been texting. Yes, yeah, I'm not touching it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going there. Not gonna happen. Nope.
God bless the beaver.
Thank you. Lots to close up with in the final show or in the final segment. I do have one more leftover from my magic hat. I apologize, but it's the 4th of July. Let's have a little bit of fun here to close out the show today. I find the topic of pooping your pants really funny. I think that's hilarious. I think picturing people pooping their pants is funny to me. How it happens. Where are you? What do you do if it happens to you? Like, that is such a funny conundrum.
Wash your ass.
It makes me laugh out loud. And the reason I bring this up is, do you listen to Noah Kahan at all?
No.
Okay. Neither do I. But okay. I remember Noah Kahan because his cover of Ray Charles Georgia got used as like the Masters song one year.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, you have Ray Charles. Yeah, it's not better than Ray Charles. Just use Ray. Anyways, but I remember. So that's the first time I remember hearing his name. I don't listen to his music. I'm sure he's fine. That's not the point. The point is he was at a concert in Philadelphia a week ago, and he had to grab the microphone in the middle of the concert and plead with the people at his show to not poop their pants. And the reason he did that was because evidently somebody at his concert was in the middle of the crowd in front of the stage and pooped their pants. And there was poop smeared on the floor in front of the stage.
Oh, that's gross.
That then led to like this widening out of the, like, you know, like everybody like slowly moves away. Like, what the hell was that? And so he took to Twitter and he said, if you have to poop at a show, please, dear God, just go to the bathroom. And then added this. How about this TMI fact? LMAO, I've pooped my pants as much as the next 29-year-old. But you guys got to understand there's a venue worker out there with a 1,000-yard stare dealing with that. And I think we give the award for the worst job in the world of whoever the guy was that was cleaning that concert hall. And I don't know what it is. I think it's just the uncomfortable nature of it, the panic that's on your face, the thought process of, like, what do I do? What do I do going forward? Like I've had my share of stomach issues. I've been very vocal about that on the show. You know, we're it's a constant rumble, right? There's been many a morning that I've been on my way in, and you're thinking, like, all right, I didn't go before I left the house. I know I'm going to have to go when I get. Am I going to make it? You have that thought of like, am I going to make it in time?
Yeah.
And every time I start laughing to myself thinking, if I don't, what do I do? Like, what is the proper protocol here? Do I come, like, I don't have a change of clothes. I have to turn around and go home, right? Now, we technically have a shower in our bathroom.
Yeah.
But that's not alleviating my clothes problem. So every time I laugh out loud when I'm in one of those situations, because I try and find levity of it, it's very uncomfortable. It's not a fun spot to be. But that drive-in of like, man, if this happens to me, I got to text Greg and tell him what happens. I think I probably have to go home. And then do I get here at 7? Like, do I just go clean up and then come right back in? Right? Like, hey, sorry, guys, a little late today. I don't know. That one always makes me laugh out loud. And if you're pooping your pants in the middle of a concert,
Have a plan.
There's bathrooms at the venue. Like, that should not happen to you. Like, if you're out, you're driving, like, there's some spots where it's like, dude, there's nothing you can do. It's coming, and here it comes. Like, just, you know, pull over to the side of the road.
Right.
In a concert, there are, you can go to.
You should have a plan, especially if you're in the front row. You should have a plan of where's the nearest bathroom, dude, in case this happens.
It doesn't come on that strongly. There's usually a build there where there's some warning. You got to pay attention to your warning signs, people, right? Okay? Pay attention to your indicators in case you need to go. I apologize for ending the show on that note, but I just couldn't pass that one up. That's been in my notes for like 2 weeks. Somebody pooped their pants at a Noah Kahan concert.
That's crazy.
That one makes me laugh out loud. Okay, quickly as we look ahead to the weekend, I will not be here on Monday. I cannot wait. United States Belgium is going to be awesome. The atmosphere is going to be great. Elsewhere in the World Cup, we have 3 more games today. So you got Spain and Austria. That one is a noon start. Then it goes Portugal, Croatia, I think at 4 o'clock, if I'm not wrong. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then 8 p.m. tonight, you get Switzerland versus Algeria. The games are in Inglewood, so down at SoFi for Spain, Austria. Then they go to Toronto for the Portugal, Croatia game. And then in Vancouver, Canada for Switzerland versus Algeria. It also continues on tomorrow. I will say, like, The Cape Verde story is kind of fun. They're taking on Argentina tomorrow, so that will be a fun one. Colombia, Ghana, you know, maybe that's something later on in the day.
Colombia is supposed to be a dark horse.
Yeah, yeah. The one that I think I'm most excited for is the Sunday night game. Hold on, let me, I think it's Sunday night. Is it Sunday night?
Sunday morning. Saturday.
Saturday morning you have two more, Canada, Morocco, and then Paraguay and France.
Yeah.
France seems to be steamrolling their way through. They're a massive favorite in that game, so we'll see. The other one that's high on my bingo card, though, is Mexico playing England.
Sunday night, yep.
In Mexico City.
Woof.
Dude, they won that game, was that two nights ago? Three people, it might be more than that, but there was like three dead people. Like, that's how much they partied and celebrated. They're taking on England. In Mexico City, that atmosphere is going to be like Monday night or Monday evening in Seattle will be awesome. 5 o'clock start, United States, Belgium.
Yeah. You want to talk about a tough place to play,
dude? Mexico City, it. Harry Kane
big,
going
bad
down,
England coming into Mexico against a team that's won four straight.
You also get Brazil, Norway on Sunday too. So Sunday is going to be a nice little day.
Yeah.
But make sure you're around the TV. That Mexico England game, I'm watching that one in Telemundo. That one is going to be all.
That's going to also get ratings. That will get
huge.
That will get a huge viewership for sure.
Let's enjoy it one more time. We did have people, by the way, poking holes in country roads earlier. Maybe for some it's overused at this point. I guess I understand that. I also would contend with what other songs can people sing along to at that level? I think it sounds good at the end of the game. And it's hard to find one that everyone knows the words to. Like, I don't want to do Sweet Caroline.
Yeah,
like, I don't want that.
I think the debate's over. If your head coach is belting that song.
Yes,
on the field.
And
he's, like, good with it, I think that's the song. I don't think we're changing that anytime soon. I think we're set on that song.
There's the Freebird stuff for the hockey team was a lot of fun, but there wasn't singing. Like, you can't really sing along to Freebird. There's like a 4-minute guitar solo in there. I love Freebird. But here is how it sounded on Telemundo, and I've decided every game I watch the rest of the way will be on Telemundo.
La carrera de Tillman. Ahí va Tillman. Goal!
It slowly fades out.
Half of it, like, I will not stop. Power through.
I got the fever, man. Keep delivering World Cup. Oh, it's going to be so much fun over the weekend. The games continue today. USA plays on Monday night. And that will do it for us, everybody. That's it, man. We're done. Brandon, I'm not going to see you because I won't be here on Monday. So,
yeah,
tip of the cap to you.
Thank
on
you,
all
sir.
Your early morning wake ups.
you've become
pseudo swag all summer with his health issues in the family and now long vacation.
Happy to help out, man. Happy
God bless your sleep schedule getting a little bit better. I'm excited
just
for
slightly,
you.
You know, until 7 a.m. when my son barges through my bedroom door asking for a show.
I was complaining about not sleeping in earlier and somebody texted in and was like, sleeping in, it's lazy, get stuff done. And I'm like, dude, do you know what sleeping is for me?
Right.
What do you think I'm talking about, like 11 o'clock? Yeah. What do you think I'm talking about here?
Yeah, those days are gone.
6:15, I'm like, dude, whole new person. This is great. You get me to 6:30? Are you kidding me? Yeah, we'll see. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Enjoy the fireworks, the hot dogs, the soccer, the footy ball, the baseball, all of it. It's going to be a fun little weekend. Happy birthday, America. We love you. We will talk to you. These guys will be back on Monday. I'll be back on Tuesday. And have a great 4th of July, everybody. The firm Harrison Meringue is next. You're listening. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.